I am joined now by Tony Lowes from Friends of the Irish Environment, and he's on the line to discuss how the reduction of greenhouse gas is not justified by burning waste. So hi there, Tony, how are you?
Good morning. Well, good morning. We're well, enjoying the sunshine.
Have you sunshine?
With sunshine in West Cork, we always have sunshine
always
in West Cork.
Do you? Oh my goodness.
No, we just keep it a secret. We just keep it a secret.
Right, yes. You just keep telling everyone how gloriously sunny it is down there. We'll all head that way. Now, I'm just going to... how does waste management affect gas emissions in the first place? So if you could tell us that first.
Well, I think the essential problem is that we're trying to stop burning things.
Mm-hmm.
We're aiming for what this the European Union calls the circular economy, which means that everything has a second purpose. Everything is recycled. And we don't get the emissions to the atmosphere that you get when you burn something. We've had to change so many of our ideas about what pollution is and what we're doing to our environment. I know all of us would think of wood, for instance, as a renewable fuel, a good fuel. But in fact, wood produces, when it burns, just as much greenhouse gas as does a fossil fuel to produce the same amount of energy. So we're beginning to learn that really these things are not renewable. The only things that are renewable are wind and solar and water power. And it's those that we should be going towards. So waste then shouldn't be a part of the equation. It should be a resource, not something you throw in the fire.
Yes. But I mean, landfill sites themselves, I mean, they have methane emissions, which are even worse than the carbon dioxide. So you're trying to obliterate landfill sites. Is this what you're saying?
Well, definitely we're trying to reduce landfill sites, particularly in populated countries like Ireland. It's very difficult. But the modern landfills that we are building now are spectacular tributes to engineers, to be honest with you. They're lined to last for at least 100 years. And they capture that methane. They can actually use that methane in district heating or for other purposes. So that I think they've conquered that particular problem. But it is one of space. And again, it's not actually contributing towards the economy in the way that recycling things does.
But you've come out now, you're basically against this proposal to convert the Mungret cement factory in Limerick, that it will accept waste from a variety of sources. So what is the proposal for the Mungret cement factory there?
It's a particularly interesting case because there's a 35-year-old cement factory in an area that's now become quite built up. Doyle is an area that many people would pass and know from the motorway coming into Limerick. And it has within 500 meters schools, it has a lot of residential areas, parks. If you were going to put a waste incinerator someplace, you would not choose to put it in this location. Mm. And that is the problem. But because there's a cement factory there, and because they're now suggesting that they will have a use for waste tires, for example, and even from the red mud from the aluminum factory, from the Ohanesh aluminum factory, there's an economic push to go ahead with it. And our concern, we've come in quite late in the process. Limerick Against Pollution has done a very good job assembling all the arguments against it. But they lost the planning battle, and we're now looking at the Environmental Protection Agency. And when you look through the record of this plant, honestly, you would feel sorry for residents in the area whose cars are covered in dust again and again, and report after report goes in. In one case, there were, I think, 90 reports went into the EPA in a single day. Now, if you think that's just from ordinary cement dust, if you're going to start using tires and you're going to start using red mud, the contents of that dust are going to contain heavy metals that weren't there before. And I think the residents have the right to say, look, this is not an appropriate project for where we live.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, when you think about the burning of tyres and you're living close by, the fumes that you would be inhaling, that can't be good. And why has it seems to have failed at every attempt by the board in Limerick. Why do you think that?
I think that there is a very strong desire to get this project ahead because of the issues that we have dealing with this red mud. It's just the pile of red mud is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If you have a look at photographs of it or try it on Google Earth, you'll see what we mean. And tires again are a real problem because they're not just made from rubber anymore. They're made from synthetic and natural rubber, textiles, steel, carbon black, aromatic extender oils, chemical additives. And this means that you have a particularly stable product in the end, because that's what you want on your car, is a really stable tire. But that means you're going to take a lot of energy to burn that tire down. So it's not really an ideal fuel. And the fugitive emissions along the way, the escapes of gases from here, they're the inevitable breakdown of something or other, puts people at risk. And that's why these facilities should not really be in a heavily populated area like this.
Yeah. Well, it kind of goes back to then the manufacturing of the products. I mean, like even the one-use plastics and everything. We really have to go back to that to try to stop creating so much of this type of waste in the first place. And then also, have you got a proposal through as to what to do if they don't use this site? How would they go about burning the fuels, or how would they go about getting rid of the waste?
Well, I think there are alternatives for handling the waste, mm-hmm. which can be looked at. But I think you have to have a purpose-built facility for it, located in an area that's well away from a populated area. And these things can be planned, but it's one of the things we're rather bad about is planning these things in advance. We tend to wait until we have a mountain of mud or a huge pile of tires and then quickly run around to see the best way to get rid of them. Mm. And this isn't working. Certainly removing plastics altogether by 2030, which is the current aim, is going to be the answer, the long-term answer. But in the meantime, I think we have to be really careful not to create an awful lot of environmental damage and a lot of unhappiness for people because we're just looking for quick solutions.
Yes, unfortunately, I think our government does a lot of that quick solutions. You know, there's very little forward planning on most things, you know. What is it now you're hoping to get? You've put in now for a proposal to try to stop this. And when do you think you'll hear back? Or you seem to have more than 4,000 objections to the proposal. Have you put in a petition or something, is it?
This has all been organised by the local Limerick Against Pollution group. And we've come in quite late in the day because we were contacted and said that it didn't look right. I think one of the things that concerns us most is that the analysis that's taken place, for instance, the impact on human beings, the only notation there is that it'll provide a lot of jobs. There's nothing about the health aspects of it. It's as if the factory didn't have any emissions and never had any breakdowns, and no dust had ever escaped before. It's a kind of an Alice in Wonderland situation as far as the impact on human beings go. And they have to do a lot more work, I think, before the residents could be in any way confident that the project should be allowed to go ahead.
Yes, I'd say it's scary for people down there at the moment with this looming over them. When did they expect to have this up and running?
We don't know. It was interesting when I was going through the files this morning and looking at it that the original proposal in 2016 was for 210,000 tons of waste going into it. But there was such an outcry at that they whipped that one out and put another one in then. That's the one we're looking at, and that says 90,000 tons on it. But I don't believe for a moment that the true target and what they're aiming at is about 210,000 tons. They're just going to get permission for 90,000 tons and then come back and say they have an economic argument for 210,000 tons. And, of course, they'll get it.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with, you know, we're dealing with skilled negotiators, and the local residents have really, I think, found themselves pretty much up against a brick wall.
It's very sad because, you know, it's not just, as you said, dust and things like that, you know, that breathing in fumes, but there's carcinogenics, you know, these dioxins and from these heavy metals and the tires. It's frightening. I wouldn't like it to be on my back door.
Well, one of the interesting things is that it's going to be at a lot of people's back doors in the end, because the cement that then goes into, say, cement blocks, that incorporates the ash from these new products. So the heavy metals that have all fallen out and ended up in the ash are going to be incorporated into the cement products. And some fellow on some site is going to be cutting through cement blocks or whatever, and the dust that comes out of that will contain your tire residue and your red mud residue. And that was not even looked at in the environmental examinations for the project.
I don't know. Well, we wait and with hope that they will put a halt to this and try to sit down. Would you like to be able to be in the negotiations then and sit down and come up with a better solution? As you say, a purpose-built place would be better.
Absolutely. I mean, we're happy to provide experts. But I think that the local residents would be able to do that themselves if only sense and reason came to this proposal and it didn't just go through like another pre-stamped approval from the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yes. Well, when do you hope to hear back from your proposal or your submission?
We're hoping that the process won't be much more drawn out, but they can be an awful long time. One of the cases that I worked on, which I think is one of the most shocking in the country, is in Cork Harbor. There's an island called Hobolan Island where the Navy has its headquarters, and there was a steel plant there. And it kind of was ticking along until an Indian businessman bought it in 1996. And he entered it into a contract with the state for considerable money from the IDA to employ 300 people for 5 years. And he applied for an Environmental Protection Agency license. That license was issued 2 weeks after the 5-year period had expired and the company had gone into liquidation. Five years.
Wow.
And the result of that was that there was no liability on the owner to clean up that site. And we are now looking at bills of $60 million for one part of the site alone cleanup because the EPA didn't issue the license in time.
That's just ridiculous. It really is just mind-boggling, just ridiculous. And, of course, unfortunately, the government has this idea of we'll just pay the carbon taxes, we'll just keep paying the taxes. That's not doing anything to help the environment, you know.
No, it's a short term. It's the fact that we cannot get these politicians to focus more than a few years ahead.
Mm.
But they won't do it. And I think they're afraid of losing their seats. And I think in that sense, it comes down to the public themselves to try and influence these people and say, look, we have to take a long term. Look at the students. Look at what they're saying. And see, you know, this radical transformation. We actually have to do it. We can't just sit here and talk about it any longer.
Well, this is true. But, I mean, people did, you know, they voted with their feet and their hearts there at the local elections. They started voting green again, you know, to try and let people know that, yes, they do want something done about the climate and the environment. So that's a positive thing.
I'm just going to say we have taken a case against the state for its failure to address climate change in its national mitigation plan. And when that case came up, it was in the High Court in January, the encouragement from people and the contributions of €5 and €10 coming from all around the country was absolutely extraordinary. There are so many people out there who really do care and who want to do something. but are finding themselves up against a brick wall all the time.
I know, it's sad because we're just killing off the planet day by day, and they don't seem to be sitting down to actually come up with a plan of what to do. But hopefully now this puts a halt to this, and you have some more positive news. We'll get you on again to tell us an update on it and see how it's getting on.
That would be great. I look forward to that.
Okay. Thanks very much, Tony, for taking time this morning to talk to me. Take care and good luck with that.
Take care now. Good morning.
Bye-bye. Now there, Tony Lowe's there from Friends of the Irish Environment. And I think you can get onto their website, fie.ie or .org, Friends of the Irish Environment.org.